a teenager or if you're an adult, the Bible still calls upon you and me to honor our parents. And specifically this morning, we're going to talk about honoring our moms. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, we have a commandment that is actually from the Old Testament, but Paul repeats it about this command to honor your parents. So look at what it says. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise. And if this is a promise, if you honor your father and mother, now listen to this, here's the promise, you will live a long life full of blessing. In our country, in our world, the building block for a civilization, I believe personally, begins in the home. If you don't establish in the home civility, you grow up with chaos. And here Paul says, he says, we need to understand that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And that word honor is a word in the Greek that means to value highly, to hold in the highest regard and respect. It's a word that means that we are to give it special attention. It's important. And I can't think of anything else in our country right now that is more important than for us to hold up and honor the institution of mom and dad, but this morning specifically, mom. You see, it's at home with mom that a child learns the difference between right and wrong. It's at home with a mom and a dad where a child learns that some things are not allowed and other things are allowed. And so if we want to have a society where there's order, where there's decency, where there is community, it begins in the home. Your government, no government in this world can produce civility. If civility is going to happen in our world today, I am convinced it has to begin in the home, and it has to begin with mom teaching those children the importance of obedience, the consequences of disobedience. I believe that as a mom, your major responsibility is to raise kids who will be good citizens. Your country cannot make good citizens, but a good mom can. And so we need to understand that honoring parents, honoring mom and dad, equals honoring the family, and honoring the family builds a country. Whenever there's problems in a country, it comes usually because the family is falling apart. So this morning we're going to look at this command. Three things real quick before we get to the rest of the outline. But the first three things is this. Why did God give this command? And this is very important. The first reason God gave this man command is every parent is flawed. Some of you would say, I can't honor mom and dad. They make mistakes. Let me just help you, kids. Yes, your mom and dad are flawed. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Don't use that as an excuse not to honor your mom and dad. Every parent, if you're a parent, raise your hand. Did you make at least one mistake? Of course you did. We all make mistakes. Why? Because we're human. And I believe that one of the reasons this command is given is Paul's wanting us to understand that in spite of our parents being flawed, we should still honor the position of mom and dad, and we need to understand that there's no such thing as a perfect parent. But let me tell you something else. There's no such thing as a perfect kid. You just need to understand that. There's no such thing as either one of them. And so we need to remember, I think that's why God caused us to be commanded to do this, is because every parent is flawed. Here's the second reason. I wouldn't be alive without them. Now, you may have sorry parents. One of the greatest tragedies is, to me, is for a kid to have a sorry mom and dad. It's just part of life. But let me tell you what, kid, if you grew up with a mom or dad who were not perfect, let me tell you what, one thing you can always be thankful for, they gave you life. Now, we're going to talk about this in just a minute. Don't use their flaws to keep you from experiencing the good things that God wants you to experience in your life. And if you cannot be thankful for your mom and dad for any other reason, it's the fact that you're here today because of that. And so I think one of the reasons God gave us this command is because we need to remember that without a mom and a dad, we wouldn't be alive. And then the third thing is God chose, now this is really kind of interesting, God chose their DNA to make me unique. Do you realize you are who you are today because of your mom and dad's DNA? And God, in His incredible wisdom, when you were conceived, that DNA gave you the future traits and things you would inherit that would make you uniquely you. There's nobody else like you in the entire world. I mean, that's such an incredible thing. No one else like you in the entire world because of your DNA that came from your mom and dad. We were with the grandchild yesterday, and when I look at my grandchild and when I look at my children, you know what's really weird? I see a little bit of me, a little bit of the mom, the kid's mom. I mean, it's weird. And then I realize my children, my grandchild, is a result of the DNA of his parents. You see, God makes us unique, and we need to understand, we need to honor, I believe, our mom and dad, because we're unique because of them. Listen to what it says in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 16. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." Before you came out, God was making you who you are. That's an incredible thing to me. He says this, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed." So you may say, my mom and dad aren't perfect, but let me tell you this. They made you who you are, and you should be grateful for that. Your eyes, your the color of your hair, your health, it comes from the DNA. So those are the three reasons that we need to honor our parents always. But then let's talk about how do you honor your mom and dad at each stage of your life. In the first stage is as a child. As a child, I honor my mother by obeying her. If you're a kid here this morning, the best gift that you can give your mom or whoever's raising you is to obey her. I mean, nothing makes a parent happier than to tell their kids to do something and then to their surprise, they do it. Unfortunately, that's not the way it should be. But in Ephesians 6:1, Paul said this, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do." If you have Christian parents, God says, you as a child, and He's talking about a child, a kid that's probably birthed to grade school, the most important thing a kid can do from the time they are born till the end of grade school is to obey their mom. That is one of the greatest blessings. And let me tell you what, it's in the home with a child with a mom who enforces obedience that a kid learns to be a part of our community. And I grew up with a mom who loved me. We lived on 1305 Lafayette Drive. It was a little semicircle, and we had a yard in the front yard, and we had a backyard. But one of the things my mother did is my mother, she said, "Billy, you do not need to get in the street. And if you get in the street, I'm going to switch your legs." How many of you had a rule similar to that? Okay. So I'm a kid, and guess what? I chose to disobey my mom. And guess what? She went over to that switch bush, and I can still hear it where you get the switch and go, all the leaves come off, and all's left is that little switch, and she would come out there and switch my legs all the way back in the yard. Now, guess what? I believe one of the reasons I'm alive today is because my mom taught me not to play in the street. And at the time when she switched me, it hurt and I cried and I didn't understand it, right? But here's what I did know, that if I got in the street, I could get another one. And you know, some kids aren't smart. I'm sorry, kids, you don't listen to me. If your mom says you're going to get a spanking for getting in the street, and you get a spanking and you choose to get in the street again, that's on you. That's not very smart, is it? Let me tell you what. One of the things that I've learned is that parents have given up this responsibility of teaching their children to obey authority. And a mom and a dad can never give up that responsibility. It's a parent's responsibility to make their child obey. And it's a kid's responsibility to obey their mom and dad. Listen, I also learned at a young age that my mom expected me to obey my teachers at school. It is not your teacher's responsibility to teach your kid to obey. Do you understand that? But here's what my mom taught me, and my dad. If I went to school and I was disobedient to that authority, my mom would teach me that wouldn't happen again. And it sometimes meant double punishment. But I was taught you never disrespect authority. And I'm going to tell you, this is a problem. I've been a husband of a teacher for many, many years. And I see parents teach disobedience to authority. Let me tell you what they cause. They cause problems for our society. A teacher is a teacher, and they have a responsibility to teach your kids what to learn, not to obey. And I learned the double whammy applied in our family, that if you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home. And listen, I'm not dumb. I may look dumb, I may talk dumb. Kids, this is on you. If you choose to get in trouble twice, that's dumb. And if I, and you know what the teacher would do? The teacher would sometimes discipline me, but then she'd call my mom. That was the worst thing to happen. Because guess what? I would obey. And they wouldn't spank me at school. No, 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 no. Mom would take care of me. And if worst would be dad. That was the biggie. But listen, kids learn to obey. And I don't give me this excuse you can't make your kids obey. You say, and let me tell you what, I didn't get spankings as I got older. But my parents disciplined me real well. Here's the best way a parent can discipline a teenager, with this right here, or lack of it. Listen, I would lose privileges. I would lose the ability to speak to other human beings. They didn't beat me. I knew that being home by myself could be lonely. I wanted to be around my friends. And it is important that we understand that as parents, and especially as moms, that we, as when their children teach them to obey, the older they get with disobedience, the more difficult it gets to teach them to obey. Kids, obey your parents. Greatest Mother's Day gift known. It's just simple obedience. And let me tell you something else, parents. We're held accountable if we don't teach them to do that. I believe that. Second thing. You got teenagers. As a young adult, I honor my mother by, number one, respecting her. Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you must show respect for your father and mother. Respect. How does a teenager show respect to mom? Well, we'll talk about that in just a second, but we're commanded to show respect. Hebrews 12:9 says, since we respect our earthly father, which I did, our earthly father who disciplined us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to the discipline of our heavenly father and live forever? You see, teenagers need to understand to obey. That continues as well. But here's a biggie. Teenagers are to respect authority, and it begins at home. What does it mean to respect? It means to give due regard for the feelings, the rights, and the traditions of others. In other words, you respect your mom's rules, you respect your mom's feelings. That's learned at home. And that, folks, is just as important as learning to show. Listen, our country has lost the ability to respect people, especially if they're not like us. And I believe the reason that's a problem is I believe because it is lost in the home. Listen, I would have never, even as a teenager who thought he was bad, I would never thought of disrespecting my mom if my dad was around. You know why? That was a deadly sin. Listen, dads, if your kid disrespects your wife, you need to deal with it. How could you? But it happens. Respect. Respect. If you don't respect your mom, you're not going to respect the school, you're not going to respect the police, you're not going to respect anybody. You won't even respect yourself. Two ways you respect your mom, kids. Number one, you accept them. You accept them. You know why you accept them? You have no choice. They have to accept you as well. They have no choice. You accept them. And then the second thing, get this, you forgive them. What are you talking about? Well, they're going to make mistakes. Let me tell you, I wish I had a redo on parenting. I think I could have been a better parent the second time around. And you, if you're a teenager, let me just help you out. Your mom will make mistakes. She will make calls that you're going to dislike, and you may even be right, but guess what? You still have to forgive her. How do you show respect? You forgive your mom. Respect is such a crucial thing. Respecting the rules of your parents. To this day, I still try to respect Julie's mom and dad and my parents. I'm going to tell a story on Julie's mom. I believe when you live as a teenager in the house of an older parent, regardless of what you think or regardless of what you want, when you live in their house, their rules are the ones that count. Now, Julie's mom, I love her to death. I told her I was using her as a sermon illustration. She had this thing. She loves to cook, and we'd have these family dinners. And you know Sister Schubert rolls? They come in those full pans. She made us wash them. Now, God is punishing me by sending me to Mount Ida. The thing I hate worst on Wednesday nights is we wash all that foil stuff, don't we, Bob? And keep it. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, why in the world are we washing these foil pans and putting them underneath? You have the money to buy new ones every week. There's no need. She said, well, I might need them for something else. And so here's what happened. Is when I came into her house, I respected her rules, and I would wash those silly foil pans. I hate them. Now, good news is, in later years, she has repented somewhat, right? A little bit, maybe. And we don't have to wash it. But I hated that. But that was the rule of her house. Now, I go to my mother's house, and I sit on the couch, and there's a coffee table in front of me. You know what the first thing I do? I put my feet on her coffee table, in which she says, get your feet off the coffee table. and I have to obey her because I respect her rule. The funny thing is when she comes to my house and I put my feet on my table, she'll tell me to get the feet off my table, and I don't get them off my table because it's my house. I respect her, but I respect her not the same way at my house. In other words, and my grown kids, they, when they're in our house, they respect our rules. And that makes it nice. We didn't have to say that. They just do that. It's what civilized humans do. Respect your mom. And then the second thing, as a teenager, you show respect by listening to her. In Proverbs 13:1, it says, A wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker or a wild child refuses to listen to correction. If you're wise, you listen to your mom. If you're unwise, you don't listen to your mom. God placed that mom in your life to teach you. And it is your responsibility to listen. Another one is Proverbs 23:22. Listen to what it says. It says, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. That word despise means to look down on. Don't look down on your mom. Listen to her. Proverbs 6:20-23 says, my son, obey your father's command and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. For their command is a lamp and their instructions a light. Their corrective and discipline is a way of life. In other words, listen to your mother. You may not always agree with her, but listen to her. It's the way that you show respect to her. And mothers, give your kids something to listen to. Teach them God's word or tell them about God's word. A lot of times as kids, they don't hear from their mom about spiritual things. They'll talk about school and the weather, and that's okay. But moms, give your kids something worth remembering. Teach them God's word. Christian parents need to do that. Teenagers, you honor your mom by respecting and listening to her. Third thing, as an adult, who we are today, who I am today. As an adult, I honor my mom by appreciating her. Proverbs 23:22b says this, and don't despise your mother when she is old. The opposite of despise is to appreciate. Appreciate your mother when she's old. Proverbs 23:25 says, so give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. That's pretty cool. Do you bring joy to your mom? Now let me tell you something that's unfortunate. Our culture in the United States, unfortunately, does not teach the respect of elders. Out of all the countries in the world, the United States is one of the worst with older people. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we have freedom. I care about me. I care about my family. And we tend to neglect. We tend to forget about what is really important, which is that mom and dad who gave you life. But we're Americans. We're free to do what we want. And we are. But listen, in the Asian culture, they take care of their parents. They're giving a place at the table. Their opinion matters. In America, it doesn't, unfortunately. Except maybe in Christian homes. That's sad. Very, very sad. The best way to appreciate your mom, get this, is to stay in touch. And not just stay in touch, but to touch. To love. You know how an older parent spells love? T-I-M-E. Listen, my mom is at a point in her life where the most important thing is my voice or my presence. I can't buy her a gift that would matter to her. Include them in big events. I like all our parents to be at every major event of my kids because they are important to me. You know, I've had to deal with this year, and this has been tough. Toughest year of my life, because this leads to the second point, which is, as adults, I honor my mom by providing for her. Do you know, kids, you may not know this, but you kids listen to me for just a second. Do you know the last study in 2015 that our government did about what it costs to raise a kid from birth to 17 years? Do you know how much it said a few years ago you cost? $233,610. Think what your parent could buy if they didn't have you. Seriously, we'd all be on Lake Washita in houseboats. I have four. I'd be a millionaire. But let me tell you what, I chose my kids because I love them and no amount of money. But here's the point. Every parent pays a price for their kid. There comes a point where you as a kid pay a price for your parents. Now, that's not easy. Let me tell you. You've known me in the last year. I've had to take my dad's. In the last 2 years, I had to take my keys from my father. I had to say, Dad, you've got to go into an assisted living with your dementia. We can't take care of you. You know how hard that is for a firstborn to do to a dad he loves and respects? Right now, just to let you know, we're in the process of either moving my mother here or to Houston, probably to Houston by my sister, because we in our family believe you need to be near your family. My mom and dad, when he was alive, they haven't written a check in years. You know who did it? The family. Now, that's a hard deal because I understand that sometimes my parents didn't like my decisions. But listen, here's the thing I had to learn. If I don't take care of my mom and dad, that's bad. It says this about the church, and we're to help. But listen, your number one help should be your kids. Right now my time is stretched thin. I'm driving 4 hours to take my mom to the doctor, turn around and drive 4 hours back. You know why? Because she's my mom. And I want to know what they're going to do. And I want to help my brother and sister make the best choices. Do I want to do it? Absolutely do not want to ride 8 hours in a car anywhere. But let me tell you what. She's my mom. I'd go to the moon and back for her. But what if you don't have kids? What if you don't have... That's where the church comes in. 1 Timothy 5, 2 through 4. In your church, treat older women as your mother. That might not be too much fun for some of you, but treat your older women as mothers and treat the younger women as your sisters. The church should care for any widows who have no one else to take care of her. But if she has children or grandchildren, show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. It is kids' responsibility to take care of their parents first. Listen to what this verse haunts me sometimes. 1 Timothy 5:8. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Listen, to neglect my mom and dad is one of the worst things I could ever think of as a Christian. Now, my mom's probably going to move to Houston because she wants to be near my sister. She may move here, but she's going to have a choice. But she's going to have to be near one of us. Fortunately for us, she wants to be. As a church, we're going to take... Y'all do a good job of taking care... I can't take care of everybody. I just can't. I have a hard enough time right now taking care of my mom. But we all together make a difference. You see, Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, in John 19, verses 26 and 27, listen to what Jesus was doing as he is dying for your sin and my sins. It says, when Jesus saw his mother standing there, he's hanging on the cross, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, which was the apostle John, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, which was John, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. Isn't that incredible? As he's dying on the cross, Jesus assigned John to take care of his mother from then on. Because that's what we do. Now, I want to close, and I want to close quickly with this. What do you do when you have a mom that hurts you? Because unfortunately in this world, that's a problem. Number one, you have to face it. If you're an adult, there may come a point where you need to go face to face with your parent who has hurt you. You'd have to define that and deal with it. Not in an angry way, but to go and say, "Hey, what happened to me was not right as a kid. I forgive you. But we've got to deal with this." Don't deny it. Don't act like it didn't happen. Deal with it. You know why? Because if you don't, it will deal with you. You will on the inside be a mess. Listen, it drives me nuts. No child deserves to be mistreated by a parent or anybody, but especially a mom or a dad. But it happens, right? It happens. So if you're an adult, deal with it. Face it. Number two, get counseling. There comes a point as an adult where the other person may say, "Well, I don't care, whatever." That's okay. You still have to go on with your life. So go to a Christian counselor and talk it out with them. Because here's what I know. If you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. But then the third thing, sometimes moms and dads abandon kids. Listen to this beautiful promise. Claim the promise. It says this, Psalm 27:10. "Even if my father and mother abandon me," listen to this, "the Lord will hold me close." Claim the promise. You have bad parents. I hate it. I will do everything to help you and encourage you. But don't let it destroy your life. They gave you life. You can make something of your life, because if you don't, you're not going to break the cycle. I can write a book on this about how a parent was ugly to a kid and the kid didn't deal with it. They grow up and they're ugly. It just keeps going. But you can break the cycle. And then I added a fifth one. Help raise kids who have difficult parents. Wednesday night, I get to meet some of the kids that come here, and they come and they don't have necessarily a mom or a dad to make them obey. And this last Wednesday, I just was talking to a couple kids, and I made the mistake. It wasn't a mistake. I made the choice to ask them about their home life, and it broke my heart. And they're the kids that are running around not necessarily doing right. And you know what? As a church, you may get irritated with them. You may not like them. We all go over there sometimes. But guess what? We may be all they have to know what a good family's like. You may have to adopt some of them as your personal kids to love on. Listen, no kid deserves bad parents. And no church deserves to neglect kids who've been neglected. It's what Mother's Day is all about. Helping kids grow better. Church is growing better. I feel strongly about that. Regardless of your age, you can respect, you can affirm, you can love on your mother, or you can be a mother to someone who needs one. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for my mom and my mother-in-law, and just I'm thankful because my mother-in-law gave me my wife, and I'm thankful for my mother because she gave me life. Perfect, no, but good, yes. Lord, I thank you for my wife who did so much better than I did at loving my kids and instructing my kids. And Lord, that was the greatest joy we know is our kids. Father, I pray that we would understand that our community has broken kids. And as much as they sometimes get on our nerves and drive us crazy, we may be the only hope that they have. Help us to reach out and make a difference. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of decision. Maybe you are here. Maybe you need to pray for your mom. Maybe you need to pray for somebody. Maybe God wants you to be a part of our church family. I don't know how you want to respond. I'm going to ask that you would stand. And if you have a decision, make it quickly because it's time to go.